This is the B-side of the lecture for December 1997. The title of the lecture is The Psalms in Prophecy, Number 2. We have been talking about the five divisions of the Psalms. The first division is from Psalm 1 to 41. The second division is from 42 to 72. At the end of 72, we find at the verse 20, David, it says, it came to the end of David's teachings on these matters. But that only had to do with the psalms that were made available to be sung in the temple at Jerusalem in the time of Solomon. Later on, in the time of Hezekiah, other psalms were written and put into the divine canon to be sung in the temple. And then finally, in the period of Ezra, after the Babylonian captivity, in the 5th century BC, he canonized all 150 psalms, divided them into five divisions, put them into the Bible, and then ordered that the Levites, the 24 divisions of the Levites, would be reading them in the temple at particular times. Now we have come up to the third division of the psalms. Now the first division has to do with Passover season. The second division has to do with the Pentecost season. The third division, as I said before, has to do with the 10th of Ab, that is, between Pentecost and Tabernacles. At that particular time is when Jerusalem was destroyed in the temple. And you read those psalms in the third division of the psalms. Every single one of them has to do with destruction. But you know, the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and of the temple is not the end of things. God has a plan. He has a plan for redeeming Israel. He has a plan for saving Israel and the world. And so it doesn't stop with the destruction of Jerusalem. We go on to the fourth division. The fourth division really has to do with Tabernacles, which starts with Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Trumpets, the first day of the seventh month. And at this period of time, the fourth division of the Psalms was ordered to be read in the temple, all of them. Now, this division from Psalm 90, which is a psalm of Moses, the only psalm in the entire book of Psalms, I'm talking about the 150 psalms, is a psalm of Moses. It's Psalm 90. Now, I'm excluding Exodus 15, which is also a psalm of Moses, but that is not in the 150 psalms. That's different. But in the 150 psalms, the fourth division of the psalms, starting with Psalm 90 and going to Psalm 106, the first psalm is that of Moses. It's most interesting. When you read that psalm and right on through to 106, you will find that the theme is that of the millennium, a time when God is ruling on earth. Now, it is true that Psalm 91 is a psalm of destruction, but right at the very beginning of the millennium, we find in the book of Revelation there's going to be a time of great seismic and celestial disturbances, a time of great havoc on this earth, where asteroids are going to come, one in particular, and strike this earth with a violence that will absolutely cause most of life to be extinguished. Now, I have written on that subject, and you need to know how that we can be saved from that type of a asteroid attack. It is coming in the future. At least it is prophesied. Now, Psalm 91 is a psalm which says that you can be protected during that time, or the people who live in this period. But you know, from there on, it's all in the fourth division, fourth division, is all about God reigning. God reigning on this earth, and how joyful and wonderful the teaching of God will be, and how the whole world will come to an understanding of the knowledge of the truth. How many psalms make up this fourth division of the psalms? If you'll count them from Psalm 90 to Psalm 106, you will find there are 17. Now, the interesting thing is, the previous psalms of the third division, that is from Psalm 73 to 89, also represent 17. Isn't it interesting? 17 and 17 psalms, both of them coming together right there. 17 is the most interesting number. Some people would say, is this a fingerprint of God, the number 17? The answer is yes, but in a very esoteric way. You do not find it on the surface so much, except in this book of Psalms. You find the third division of the Psalms are 17 in number. You find that the fourth division of Psalms are 17 in number. But what about this number 17? Well, let me tell you something that's rather interesting. If you will add up all of the numbers from 1 to 17, adding them up together, that is 1 plus 2 equals 3, plus 3 equals 6, plus 4 equals 10. You see what I mean? Add them all up together until you get 16 and then add 17. The number that you come to is the most interesting one. It is 153. 153. Now, some will say, well, what does that have to do with anything in the Scripture? Well, it has quite a good deal to do with it. You will find, I'm going to show you in just a moment. And there's some reflection on this in the book of Psalms. The third division is 17 Psalms. The fourth division is 17 Psalms. If you add the 17 up, as I said before, you get 153. Is 153 a fingerprint of God? Yes, it is. Turn with me now to John chapter 21, the very last chapter of John. This is after the resurrection of Christ. He is at the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. He told them to go up there. And here's what happens. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. Now the sons of Zebedee were John and James, John who was the apostle, and the two of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Now this was designed that he do that. They say unto him, we shall also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Nothing all night in the Sea of Galilee. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat, that is food? They answered and said, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it up for the multitude of fishes. Now notice, they had fished all night and didn't get a nibble. Jesus said, cast over on the right side and you're going to get some food. They cast over and the fish were there in great multitude. They brought them up, it says in verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord who said this. They finally recognized him. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. That means he didn't have his outer clothes on. And he did cast himself in the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, that is about 300 yards, about a football field away from shore, is where they did all of this, casting over that net and catching those fishes. And they were dragging the net with the fishes. Now, verse 9, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And here was Jesus, and you know, Jesus actually ate food after his resurrection. This is after his resurrection. This is to show his bodily experience after the resurrection, just like you and I are to have a bodily experience after the resurrection. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land, full of great fishes. I mean, they had fished all night and didn't get a nibble. Now they had great fishes. And they put them out on shore. They counted them. How many did they have? It says in John chapter 21, verse 11, 153. 153. Now that is interesting because you take the number 17, one added on the other, and you get to 17, add up to 17, and you get to 153. Now, the third division of the Psalms are 17 in number. The fourth division of the Psalms are 17 in number. And when you add them all up, it gets 153. Now, why were there 153 and not 152 or 154? There were 153. This is made very clear here in the gospel. They want you to understand that it was 153. Now in Hebrew, each letter in Hebrew has a significance to it, a numerical value. They didn't have the Arabic numbers like we have today, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They took Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and so forth, meaning 1, 2, 3. You see, the numbers of the letters. Each of the Hebrew letters has numbers to them. Now, when you take the phrase, Bini ha-Elohim, Bini means sons of or children of, Ha, the, Elohim, God, the sons of God, you take all of the Hebrew letters that make up that phrase, sons of God, and you know what they come to? Exactly, 153. So what were the disciples doing after the resurrection of Jesus? They were now in a period of time when they saw him resurrected from the dead. They now knew who he was. There wasn't any doubt with Peter and James and John and the rest of them who he was. And after all, they had been fishing all night and hadn't got anything. They were told to go fish and they hadn't found anything. And then all of a sudden, just on the right side, not on the left side, but on the right side is where they found the 153 fishes that they brought out. You see the significance of the whole number? Jesus is trying to point out. He said to them, you have been fishers of men, fishers of fish, but now you shall be fishers of men. And you know, they got out of that Sea of Galilee, both clean and unclean fish. It doesn't say they were all clean, because there were clean and unclean fish there, you see? They're going to reap the sons of God from the Sea of Galilee. The symbolism there is so fantastic when you think about it. They were now to go out into the world and to raise up children to God. And that's who you and I are at the present time. We are the recipients of this teaching. But you know, the 17, the 153, that is adding up to the 17, is not something that you just find in the New Testament. Oh no, you go back in the Old Testament and you will find ramifications of it even there. And the third division of the Psalms is 17. The fourth division of the Psalms is 17. Now you come to the fifth division of the Psalms. That starts in Psalm 107 and goes to the end, Psalm 150. Add them up, 44. How many letters in the Hebrew alphabet? 22. This is the double of the 22. And you know, all of the Hebrew teaching is found in the Hebrew letters. And it symbolizes here that the complete double teaching of God, where he is going to reach out to save all people, Jews starting in Israel, and to all, when you read the whole Psalms there, all will be finally redeemed. And the number 44 is there, 22 plus 22. And it equals 150 altogether. Now, 150, they also had a reading of a psalm every week. And if you read a psalm every week, after 50 weeks, that's about a year, isn't it? Then another 50 weeks is another year, and another 50 weeks is another year. You have 3 years. And you know, that's when they read the law and the prophets in the temple and also in the synagogues. They would do it over a 3-year period, then they would start over again, and they would do it over another 3-year period. But then on the 7th year, they would abandon it and read it all in 1 year because that was a sabbatical year. What we find is here that these psalms are musical operas that are designed to be read at specific times for specific reasons in order to back up the teaching that is going on at the time in the temple when other parts of the Bible were being read. You see the point? Now, when you get to the 5 divisions here of the Psalms, you will find that they equal, and the Jews have recognized this. They call the 5 divisions of the Psalms the 5 books of the Torah equals them. They call the first division, that is, the first 41 psalms, with an introductory psalm, meaning 40 after that, they call that the Genesis book of the Psalms. They call the next section, starting with Psalm 42, and going on Psalm 42, and going on to Psalm 72. They call that the Exodus book of the Psalms. Then starting in Psalm 73 and going to Psalm 89, which is the Psalm of Destruction and all of that for the temple, they call that the Leviticus book. And isn't it interesting that the third division of the Psalms has to do with the destruction of the temple, and the third book of the law is all about the Levites who have control of the temple. See the co-relationship there? That is not an accident. It is meant to be something for you to understand. And then the fourth division of the Psalms starts in Psalm 90, 17 Psalms, and goes to 106. That they call, the ancient Jews, the Numbers book, because it was the fourth book, you see, like the Numbers book in the book of the law. The Numbers book speaks about the wanderings of the children of Israel in the wilderness, when God was their complete protector and all of that. This has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. And you know, the Feast of Tabernacles, even when Israel, after the time of Solomon, were living in houses, they were to come out of those houses and live in tents like they were at the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 or 8 days. And you know, here it is, the book of Numbers has to do with the wanderings in the wilderness. And what is this fourth book of the Psalms? It's all about the millennium, and about the wandering in the wilderness, and how you are supposed to be under the protection of God. And then we come to the fifth division of the Psalms. They call that the Deuteronomy book. Now, Deuteronomy is a recapitulation. When you look at the law, it's a recapitulation of the first four books of the law. It's a time when they came into the civilized area, out of the wilderness, the children of Israel, but now into the Holy Land. And all of the laws in the book of Deuteronomy have to do with a civilized existence in the land of Israel. You'll notice that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, it speaks about certain animals there that you are to eat and that you are to stay away from. Every one of those animals there are desert animals that are mentioned. But you come to in the book of Deuteronomy, which speaks about the same thing, the animals there are all civilized animals, animals that you would find in the land of Canaan in a civilized area. And you compare the book of Deuteronomy with the first four books, and you will find that the major contrast is, one is that they were in the wilderness here, and the second is they're now in the land that God gave to them. Well, you know, the fifth division of the Psalms, when you read those 44 books, 2 times 22, you will find the whole significance is in that type of a context. Now, I just take my word for it, for granted at the present time, but you study it and you will see that that is the case. And what we find here is that these 150 Psalms in these five divisions are analogous to the five divisions of the law, that is, that Moses gave in the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and that the teachings of the Psalms go along with emphasizing, reinforcing, and accenting the teachings that you find in the law. But it doesn't stop there. In the temple, as I mentioned to you before, Ezra also put five books together to be read in the court of the women. And these five books all have to do with feminine aspects. The five books are called the Megillot. The word Megillot means festival books. And these five books, let me give them to you. Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther, those five books were all linked together and to be read in the women's section of the temple at particular times. Do you know when the Song of Songs was read? Yeah, there are five divisions here. Song of Songs was read at Passover, just like the book of Genesis, just like the first division of the book of Psalms. And then we find the book of Ruth read at Pentecost, just as the second division of the law, Exodus, as well as the second book of the Psalms were written, were to be read at Pentecost, and to emphasize and to accent that theme. And then the next book in this Megillot was called the Book of Lamentations, all about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and of the destruction of the temple. Read those, read it in the Book of Psalms, Book of Lamentations. And how many chapters are in the Book of Lamentations? Five, most interesting. And you know something? The first chapter has 22 verses to it. Each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with A, Alpha, Beta, you know, Bet, Gimel, down to Tau. X, Y, Z. You see what I mean? The second chapter of the Book of Lamentations, same thing. The third chapter of the Book of Lamentations, the same thing, but there are 66 verses there. That means the first three verses are A, the next three verses are B, the next three verses are so forth. You see, all the way down? And there are two more chapters after that. This book of Lamentations was to be read according to the orders of Jeremiah under the Spirit of God, to be read on the 10th of Ab, the fifth month of the Hebrew calendar, answering to our August in the high summertime. That's the very day, as I said before, that both temples, the temple in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and 600 later, years later, the temple at Titus was destroyed by accident. Or was it by accident? You see? Accident as far as humans are concerned, but not as far as God is concerned. All right. This fourth book, a third book, I should say, of Lamentations, agrees with the third division of the book of Psalms, Psalm 73, to Psalm 89. What do those psalms show? And I will show this in the next lecture. They show destruction. Destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of the temple, destruction of the Judaic society, the overthrow of the people of God. And it agrees with, in the law, the book of Leviticus, where the priests are the ones in charge who are supposed to be in charge of the temple. Now, what is the fourth book in this Megillot that I was telling you about that Ezra designed to be read in the court of the women? It's the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. And the book of Ecclesiastes is a book, if you read it all the way through, he says Solomon was the richest man who ever lived. He was the wisest man who ever lived. He had knowledge and understanding and wisdom as nobody ever had. The kings of the world came up to hear his wisdom. It's typical of the millennium when people will come up to Jerusalem to hear what is going on, and they will learn of great and wonderful and marvelous things. And that agrees with the Feast of Tabernacles theme, which in turn agrees with the fourth division of the Psalms, which starts out with the Psalm of Moses, 90, and goes on the way to 106. And read those Psalms afterward. It speaks about the Lord reigning. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. It becomes so repetitious, you say, well, I guess the Lord is reigning all right. That's right. He is. And then the fifth book, by the way, of this Megillot, and the last one to be sung or to be read in the temple, in the women's section of the temple, was the book of Esther. The book of Esther is in your Bible. It's after the Babylonian captivity, Esther and Mordecai. You remember the story? Both Benjaminites, how they saved by divine fiat the whole of the Judaic nation, and how all Judah was saved as a result of it. That is the last festival. All Judah will be saved. And you know what Paul said in the book of Romans? All Israel will be saved finally. Now they're not saved now, but they will be saved later. Now, it's in the plan of God for them to be saved. This was to be read at the time of Purim, a month before Passover, the last month of the year in the wintertime, the last of the year. That was to be read. So what we find is that the fifth division of the Megillot has the book of Esther. And the fifth division of the Psalms, 44 of them, 2 times 22, has a summing up. Just like in the law, the last book there, the fifth is Deuteronomy, the summing up of everything, bringing a civilized life into effect. All of these things get together to present a theme, a concerted theme, a harmonious theme, a consistent theme, which shows that God himself is in the teaching of the Bible, particularly this Old Testament area that we have been looking at here, in which things were sung at specific times in the temple. Now, you take this Megillot, for example. They were to be read, those five books, in the women's section. Starts out with the Song of Songs. That is about a woman looking for her husband, whom she hopes will be Solomon. Ruth is the next book. It's a woman. Lamentations is the next book. It calls Jerusalem the queen city of Jerusalem, of Israel. And then the next is Ecclesiastes. The title in Hebrew is Koheleth, which is feminine for the one who gives knowledge. And then Esther is, again, a woman. Isn't it interesting that in the first book, Song of Songs, there is no mention of God personally, except in a way which speaks about thunder as being like, or lightning being something of God. And in the book of Esther, the last book, the word God is not mentioned once in the entire book. Most interesting, isn't it? Now, these things, you say, well, why are they not there? Well, that is another lecture I want to give. But the point is, these five books of the Megillot agree with the five books of the law, which agree with the five books of the Psalms. So, in concluding, we're on a series here of finding out what these Psalms are all about. You listen to this next lecture and the following one, because you're going to see prophecy coming out as never before. These books have relevance for us today. Let us pay attention to these Psalms, and we will be invigorated with a spiritual understanding of the truth of the Almighty God. This concludes the B section of the lecture, the Psalms number 2 in prophecy.